This is such a happy song. I love this song. Take a listen. Table, look outside. Thy were able on the backside. I love this song. I could sing to this song the rest of the night. Welcome back, everyone. We call this the Mom and Michael Hour. Unfortunately, my son is not with us tonight, but I am so excited that he'll be here next Sunday. So stay tuned for that. Jonathan Lowe and I, of course, love to talk as well. And I want to get an update from you, Jonathan, about Twins baseball, because I have not stayed on top of it with all the work I've been doing. So tell me about how they're doing.
Well, they've been struggling a little bit. They have really not played as well as they were early in the season, and unfortunately it has come back to bite them a bit, and they are now out of first place in the division.
Oh, man. You know, when was the last time the Twins were anywhere where they won the big game? Was that 91?
World Series was 91. They won it in 87 and 91.
Yeah, man, that was so incredible. I remember it so well because I drove downtown to be close to the stadium just so I could feel all of the electricity. I tell you, everything that people feel about different groups of people was all gone away in that moment for me. I mean, there was no one cursing and calling people out of their, you know, whatever your background is, if you're black, white, or whatever. Nobody was getting out going, you know, you so-and-so, get out of here. None of that. It was people were hugging each other that didn't know each other. It was beautiful, and I just hope that the Twins can bring that back for us now that we have the Twin Stadium and so much more. So do you think that they are going to get better, or do you think that there are so many games that they're exhausted?
Well, the thing is, it's not the so many games thing, because that's the same for everybody. Everybody plays 162 games a year.
That's a lot of games.
It is a lot of games. It's a lot of days, and baseball does wear on you over the 6 month season, basically. So I don't know if they're tired. I don't know if they were ultimately built to withstand the pitching of Cleveland and the lineup of Chicago. Chicago is underachieved as a team. And the Twins were, I don't know if they were playing completely over their heads or playing a little bit over their heads. But right now, the thing is, they need to get their stuff together. They need to get on the same page. Usually when they have a decent offensive outing, the pitching, and especially the bullpen, kind of lets them down. Or if they have a good pitching day, they don't really score a lot of runs. They get stifled. So they've really kind of – they're not in sync right now.
What happens in the bullpen, though, Jonathan? What happens?
Well, sometimes you just don't have good bullpen guys. They have some good bullpen guys. Mm-hmm. Caleb Thielbar has been doing fairly well, and Johan Duran – That dude just throws gas. He just rears back and he throws just lights out, lightning past your face that you can't catch up with. Right. And so there have been some good pitchers in the bullpen, but there have been some pitchers that have given up some runs in some bad situations and some crucial, critical situations. And so they need to shore up the pitching. They were trying to do that during the trade deadline. I don't know if it's been enough, but we'll see. They still have about 6 weeks to go, so there's still a lot of time to go.
You know, the pitchers, the way they use their arm, how fast the ball is going. I'm just wondering how long do they stay in the game? How long do they continue to play that particular sport when you have to constantly, with so many games, work that arm? You know, and I'm just curious.
Geraldine, you came to the right source of information to bloviate on that. I'm not saying I'm correct. I'm just saying I'm gonna spout off hot air. Pitching, now this, your question can be answered two ways. First way is you're talking about the careers of people, and pitching that way puts a lot of stress on the arm. You have a lot of guys that will miss time with elbow injuries, with what's called a Tommy. They need what's called a Tommy John surgery, and that helps to repair if they have elbow issues. Helps to repair the elbows, and usually when you have Tommy John, you're out for a year, year and a half.
Exactly, so, it takes a while to heal.
Right, but you also have shoulder injuries. You have, you know, you might have back injuries or hip injuries. And so I don't know if careers last as long. I think the guys, that the pitchers that stay around and pitch for 15, 20 years is increasingly rare. Mm-hmm. And you got to find a real rare specimen that'll be out in the majors pitching effectively for that long. Now, the other way to look at it is in-game, in-season. And what happens now is you have people in these front offices, especially in the front offices, we're talking about general managers and presidents of operation and all of that, that go toward analytics. And analytics is looking at data and basing your decisions more off of data than either gut feel or seeing the pitchers in action and getting a sense of how they are pitching during a game, how many bad innings they have, how many tough innings or stress innings they have, and just going by numbers and seeing, well, this time through the batting order they pitched this well, this time through the batting order they pitched this well, and strictly going by the numbers. That is an argument that is continuing and is heated in baseball, and will continue to be for the next however many years. And I don't know if that gets solved. I know Rocco Baldelli is more of an analytical guy than more of a gut feel guy. And that's gone into some of these pitching outings where you've had guys that have been pitching really well and they're only in the fifth or sixth inning and they're taken out for the bullpen when they probably could go another inning or two. So it's all about the new data and the new science, quote unquote, of pitching versus your old gut feel.
Yeah, you know, I used to watch shows that talked about the new technology for runners, right, in the Olympics and that sort of thing. And it was fascinating to see what the technology could do for them, you know, how to make it where they can do more than they could do before. And of course, that's probably the same for football, baseball, basketball. Technology is at the forefront, trying to give them another way of doing it, a better way of doing it. Are we being successful with that?
In some ways, yes, because you're getting stuff like new football helmets that are helping to cushion blows. It's not going to be an end-all be-all, but you're helping to reduce the number of concussions. You're helping to reduce the number of serious brain injuries with the technology in the helmets. I mean, there were points in the early time of football where people died on the field. No joke. They didn't, you know, they didn't have any headgear, let alone the helmets that they have now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, technology has been able to help make sports safer, maybe more efficient, maybe better with the body and the training and the nutrition that makes athletes better conditioned. And so, yeah, there's definitely been advances and help through some of the sciences and the technology, but there are also some people that think, well, we've taken it a bit too far in a couple of different areas. So it's all in how the game is perceived.
You absolutely love sports. You love it, love it, love it. And I'm just curious to know, did you play any?
I did, yes. I wasn't great. I consider myself a scrub, so... Yeah, if you know what a scrub is out there, you're welcome. So I played.
Is that part of the TLC song?
Not that kind of scrub. Not that kind of scrub.
There's
another kind of scrub. I'm not that kind. I don't want to be that kind of scrub. No.
Okay.
I played basketball and soccer competitively, I guess you could say, in grade school. From fifth through eighth grade, I played basketball. I played soccer. we had tennis that we would play in the spring, but we didn't play it against any other schools. And then when I got into high school, I did track and field for a couple of years. So I have played. I wish I could have played more. I wish I had more athletic ability. Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But no, I've been in it a little bit, but not to the point where you have people that have played at a very competitive level in high school, at a very competitive level in college, and then even getting into semi-pro, let alone professional sports. I haven't touched that realm. So I would love to in my day, but now it's like, okay, let's just walk it out. Let's just keep the bones from not scratching against each other. That's the main goal right now.
You know, my granddaughter, my oldest, she'll be 10 years old soon, and she can fly when she runs. She's so fast. And at her school, they've been asking, you know, her to come and join the, you know, the team. And I don't know if her parents are going to allow it or not. She's tall and thin and long legs, and man, can she run. It is a beautiful thing to watch. But I know parents get really worried when their children are, you know, getting into sports and make it hurt. You know, you're really fortunate when they can go through all of their years in school, all the way up through 12th grade, and not have any injuries. That's amazing. You know, it's not the norm, but
it's rare.
It is truly amazing. It is rare. Yeah. So I know we got to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit about something called weed drinks. You know anything about that, Jonathan? He just walks out of the conversation. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour. Of course, Michael couldn't make it tonight. However, he's looking forward to next Sunday. So I do hope you'll stick and stay with us. It's Jonathan Lowe and I talking, and I learn a lot from Jonathan, and hopefully we get to glean something from each other on Sunday nights. I thank my producers, of course, Chris Tubbs, as well as Jonathan Lowe, who do an excellent job helping me with booking the show. So this has been really fun tonight. And as we wrap up this half hour, it's really remarkable. I was reading an article from the New York Times that talks about weed drinks, and I asked Jonathan, do you know what these are? And I didn't get an answer. Do you know?
I've heard of them, I believe. What are you talking about?
I am talking about marijuana drinks.
Yes, okay. I'm not familiar with okay. I'm going to say this, and it's going to be accurate for me, not for anybody, but for me. I did not inhale.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Well, this article in the New York Times today talks about weed drinks and that they are a buzzy alcohol substitute. But are they safe? That's the big question that they're asking, right? Because business is booming for cannabis-infused beverages. And this has been going on for about 10 years. It's not like it's brand new. People have been knowing about it for a long time because they, in the mid-20s, which is like 2010 or something, they had this whole era of ready-to-drink cocktails. You remember that? Hard sets, seltzers, and so much more.
Seltzers are still big. They're still big.
Man, you know, you go in a liquor store, and they are jam-packed.
Yeah.
Jam-packed. Not with just people, but with all of their products. It's just constantly growing.
Well, it's interesting because I drink ciders. I drink hard ciders.
Okay.
And
I have a sister-in-law that drinks those. She loves them.
There you go. See, they're wonderful. They're delicious and great. but you could see them in the liquor stores or in the grocery stores that have a liquor section. You would see maybe a few hard ciders, but of course you'd see all your beer, you'd see your wine and whatnot. And 5 years ago, 7 years ago, you might have a seltzer or two. You might have a few of them. They'd be kind of mixed in with the hard lemonades or the hard teas or the wine coolers, that sort of thing. They weren't really big. Now, I went into Total Wine up here in Roseville Friday. And I was looking to get a couple things. I was out yesterday at a get-together cookout, and I was taking a couple things for me to drink. And the seltzers were equal. There was basically equal amount of space, if not more, slightly more, for the seltzers than there were for the ciders.
Wow. So what did you glean from that?
Just the fact that the seltzers are, it's not a trend. It is not just a fad. It is something that has really caught on. And I'll say this. You remember Zima?
No.
Zima was that kind of clear beer back in the 90s.
Oh, I wouldn't have paid attention. I don't do beer.
Okay. Well, it was like I think it was more of a seltzer, but it was kind of like a cross between a seltzer and a beer. But it was one of those light things that, oh, you want to be trendy, you go get a Zima. And that was around, but that was a fad. It faded. This, with Truly and High Noon Sun Sips, which is always a great thing to say.
High Noon Sun Sips.
Yes, that's everybody calls them High Noon. I was actually out on the golf course last week, and one of the guys I was playing with got one. He's like, oh, let me get a High Noon. I said, oh, yeah, High Noon Sun Sips. And they looked and they said, what? And then they looked at the can like, oh, yeah, that is the name. It's the full name. It's High Noon Sun Sips.
Why do we do that? I don't know. It just leaves our brain. We don't pay attention to the whole thing.
But if you look at the can, they have High Noon in big letters, and then they have Sun Sips in little letters.
I love that, though. Yeah. Sun Sips. That's wow.
But with those and the White Claws and all this stuff, it is a trend that has staying power, and it's sunken its teeth and its claws into us. Well, into some of us. I don't drink them, but they're everywhere. And a lot of people drink them. They were at the cookout last night.
Well, you see them a lot when people are, you know, partying outside before a game.
Yes.
You know, you see a lot of that.
You
can't miss it. But when it comes to recreational marijuana becoming legal in several states, it says in the article, cannabis-infused mocktails, seltzers, and alcohol-free wines are hitting the market, often sold as a shortcut to a healthier high. How do you define a healthier high? I mean, I read this and I went, what? What are y'all talking about? A healthier high. Bottom line is that there is plenty for people to get at these liquor stores. And I remember when they first started opening liquor stores on Sundays and blah, blah, blah. And it was just a big deal. And now you can go in on Sundays and grab any of these that we've just mentioned.
Oh, absolutely.
And just know that some of them have small doses of CBD. In them. So I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd ever have a mock. I don't think I would ever have one of these.
I don't believe I'd have one either, just because the thought of marijuana as a liquid, this doesn't appeal to me, I guess you'd say. But it's just another way to intake it. It's, let's say you've smoked marijuana for a few years, and now you have a different alternative with the oils or the food, right, like brownies or gummies or whatnot, mm-hmm, cookies, mm-hmm, and now you have another alternative to inhale it with these drinks. And so maybe it's a more safer way to digest it. I don't know. But
Here's the thing. If people are sick and the doctors say, hey, you know, take cannabis, it'll be good for you. The medicinal purposes of it makes sense to me. I had an uncle who had cancer, and they said he would only live about a year and a half, and he ended up living for more than 7 years. But it was all because of cannabis, you know. I mean, I would go visit him in Chicago, and, you know, he would sit right there, you know, and say he'd have his cannabis right in front of him, but he would never smoke it in the house. His wife didn't like it. So he would leave and go outside, sit outside, and actually smoke it. He would feel better every time. So I love it when it's medicinal. I don't have any problem with that. But, you know, weed, now that it's out there and in so many states, they're saying, hey, you know, we allow this. I do know a lot about cannabis and when I was getting my undergrad degree. And I could not believe how many ways that it was used. The history of cannabis goes back. It's like it was considered the plant that could do everything. You could use it for drinks and foods and clothing and so much more. There was this long list of cannabis. It used to be everywhere, right? I mean, we didn't know this, but it used to be everywhere and it wasn't illegal. And I don't know what changed it and made it illegal, but this is a plant that can solve some of the world's problems. And well, I'm not kidding you on that.
You just remember, and we got to break off of this, you just remember at one point in time, the poppy was so popular because everybody thought opium was a big time medicine. And it turned out not to be. And you learn more about things. And I think that in terms of cannabis, things were learned. They didn't like them. They thought, oh, this, you know, this is another drug. This is another way to escape reality without any benefit. But now we're seeing, okay, where opium may not have had as much medicinal benefit, cannabis has more medicinal benefit. And we're coming around with more research on it as to, okay, what can this provide? How can this be of help to people?
Right. But if you look at the history of cocaine, which used to sit on the shelves of Walgreens, if I'm not
mistaken. That's another one.
Coca-Cola, man. And that stuff was for real. People could go and they were having parties and they'd have these beautiful, beautifully decorated tin cans. And you pick up, you know, one of those and take it home for the party and people would just enjoy it and they would feel euphoric because they really enjoyed it. But look at where
they
it is today.
They inhale,
man. They taste it, inhale, whatever you want to call it. But with weed drinks, I don't worry about it because I know the plant is so integral to this planet. And I hope that they will start using it again in the ways it was used decades ago, because it's really healthy in the sense of what it can do for food, for eating, for clothing, for, I mean, it's just so much. There's so much healing properties with it. So there you go. I know we got to take a break and we'll come back in just a moment. Stumbling out of bars. Have you ever done that? Oh my gosh. I can just imagine how many people have done that. And, you know, I don't hear people talk about it like that anymore. And I don't see people stumbling out of, restaurants and clubs and that sort of thing,
exactly. You ain't out on the town on a Saturday night, I'll tell you that much.
No, Saturday night, I've gone to plays and all the people are pouring out of the theaters and you watch and you try to see, okay, is anybody like outside
theaters,
of themselves?
Theaters ain't the bar.
You're talking about the bars. Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about bars and some restaurant. Yeah, no. I'm talking about, I'm trying to Dan Kelly's downstairs, even though it's not open till 2 a.m. anymore. But places like that where you would find people that are there specifically to drink. And I'm not saying I've ever been one of those people, but I may have been one of those people.
Well, there you go. Okay, well said, dude. Well said. Well said. So I don't know when people get drunk off of alcohol or whether they are really high on some, you know, pill or something, or even weed, smoking weed, and it makes them feel like they are the best thing in the world. It's really quite remarkable that there are challenges to all of it. I mean, really, we should be a lot more careful. I was reading this article, continuing to read it, and I didn't know that there are winemakers that make cans of alcohol free sparkling wine, but they infuse it with 10 milligrams of THC. I didn't know that. And what are the studies about that, bringing those two together, and how will that affect people driving and that sort of thing? I'm really just blown away how drugs are re-entering into places where they've been put out. And so I'm concerned about that. You know, for loved ones, I'm concerned about that. For dear friends, I'm just concerned about that. When I'm driving, you name it. And I had this incident yesterday, Jonathan, where I was getting off the highway, off of 94, and it said yield, and I yielded. I looked both ways twice. And all of a sudden, as I was turning, this man who was in a wheelchair was right there. And I just about freaked out. I had to pull over. I was so terrified and so grateful that I didn't hit him, touch him in any way. I was so grateful, you know, had tears in my eyes because what if, right? What if? And so a lot of people are driving on the weekends, especially that are under the, you know, the ruling of alcohol and so much more. And you don't know how to react sometimes. You really don't. But I feel so blessed that what could have been a terrible thing did not happen last night. Thank God. And there was no alcohol involved or anything like that. But it really terrified me because it was so pitch black. There was no light there. And I'm just grateful I didn't hit him. So grateful. And I just kept saying to him, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So I don't know. It was really scary. Also, when it comes to weed, and, you know, that's what we usually call it, right? Weed. There's so much more to it. And people are drinking weed now. And the it looks like a martini glass with the weed sitting in it and how they infuse it and make it where it doesn't hurt you as much. But I would really have to ask an expert if it hurts you at all. Because the weed of today is not like the weed of yesterday.
Yeah.
And you see that changing, right? I mean, the smell of it even is so different. You smell it everywhere.
Well, the thing with... I don't know how much of a thing this was when the hippie culture was around in the mid to late 60s and into the 70s and how that's changed over time. But now you hear from people, like you said, there are times when you don't know what's going into that drug that you're taking.
Right.
And I know that a lot of emphasis right now is on fentanyl and
oh, wow.
Types
serious
of fentanyl
business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's I mean, you just say the word Prince and that's
how he died.
Yes. And so the fact that some of these drugs are being, and especially designer drugs, are being mixed with other things that could make it more lethal, could give you a bigger high, I guess, but could make this more lethal. It's something that you now have to watch out for more readily and more carefully because it's like someone, and this is going to be a silly comparison. I'm going to make it, but it's a silly comparison, but it's like someone with a food allergy reading the ingredient label to make sure that there's nothing in there that will make them react to their allergy. And so maybe there needs to be some kind of labeling. And I know that if you go maybe to a dispensary, I wonder if dispensaries have that capability of putting labels on and showing you ingredients and how it's made. Buying it off the street, you're not going to get that. But I wonder if you can see that if you go to some of these dispensaries that are licensed to sell.
Yeah, good question. You know, I look at even some of the vitamins that I take, you know, from vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin D, magnesium. And there's a bunch of vitamins that I take a day. And most of the bottles say that it is not approved by the FDA. And I keep sitting there going, well, why are we taking this stuff and it's not even approved? But we take it anyway. And I don't know if it's even doing any good. I don't have a way necessarily of understanding or finding out if it's really working. It's so frustrating, Jonathan, whether it's real drugs that cause people to, like marijuana, that cause people to falter from time to time, and then other people who it really blesses them, it keeps them alive, keeps them on this planet living a life because they are on those drugs like cannabis. So I don't know. I keep asking myself, why do I keep taking vitamins? Do you take vitamins?
I don't at this time. I probably will, you know, down the road. But I take a couple of things a day for allergies, and so it's probably the same for me. I've taken this stuff for so long; it's probably embedded in my brain by now. But stuff like that, you don't want to become addicted to it, and you want to make sure that everything is good for you that goes in. But sometimes I don't know. I'm not as careful as I probably should be on these more licensed drugs and pharmaceuticals, so to speak.
Pharmaceuticals, but, you know. It talks about in that article, too, that what are the risks of cannabis-infused drinks? And it said it's easy to accidentally consume too much THC.
Yeah.
It's a simple answer, right? And so how do we stay on top of that? How do we know the drinks that are coming at us that the bartenders make that won't hurt us? Because every one of us is different, right? Some people can really have a high level of alcohol that they can do and others can't. So it's math.
Yeah.
You know? It's the math of it all. So
we got
a break. I appreciate you telling your truth. I know we do. All right, we're going to take a break and then finally wrap this up. We'll be back. It is now 10:56 here at WCCO. My goodness, Jonathan, I have had a good time talking with you tonight. And I thank you so much for sticking and staying with us here at WCCO. I think you are a really good producer as well. Hey, do you know what pickleball is?
That's become extremely popular.
Oh, my gosh. What is the deal? I mean, they're saying that this could be the sport of the future injury, that it's that dangerous at times. It's all fun and games until you strain your Achilles tendon and herniate a disc or do a face plant in the kitchen. So people are really talking about it, and it has spread even here in the great state of Minnesota.
Real quick, there's a tennis court on the block right behind my complex that I live at.
Yeah.
It's a couple tennis courts. You would barely see people playing tennis. I went by there a week or two ago. Packed. Everybody's playing pickleball. Packed.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there you go. I got to check it out. Thanks for everything, Jonathan. And thank you all for sticking and staying with us tonight. I hope to hear from you on Sunday. Take care. Stumbling out of bars. Have you ever done that? Oh, my gosh. I can just imagine how many people have done that. And, you know, I don't hear people talk about it like that anymore. And I don't see people stumbling out of restaurants and clubs and that sort of thing hardly ever.
You ain't out.
Exactly.
You ain't out on the town on a Saturday night, I'll tell you that much.
No, Saturday night, I've gone to the plays, and all the people are pouring out of the theaters, and you watch and you try to see, okay, is anybody outside
theaters,
of themselves?
Theaters ain't the bar.
You talking about the bars? Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about bars and some restaurant. Yeah, no. I'm talking about, I'm trying to, like, Dan Kelly's downstairs, even though it's not open till 2 a.m. anymore, but places like that where you would find people that are there specifically to drink. And I'm not saying I've ever been one of those people, but I may have been one of those people.
Well, there you go. Okay, well said, dude. Well said. Well said. So I don't know when people get drunk off of alcohol or whether they are really high on some, you know, pill or something, or even weed, smoking weed, and it makes them feel like they are the best thing in the world. It's really quite remarkable that there are challenges to all of it. I mean, really, we should be a lot more careful. I was reading this article, continuing to read it, and I didn't know that there are winemakers that make cans of alcohol-free sparkling wine, but they infuse it with 10 milligrams of THC. I didn't know that. And what are the studies about that, bringing those two together, and how will that affect people driving and that sort of thing? I'm really just blown away how drugs are re-entering into places where they've been put out. And so I'm concerned about that. You know, for loved ones, I'm concerned about that. For dear friends, I'm just concerned about that. When I'm driving, you name it. And I had this incident yesterday, Jonathan, where I was getting off the highway, off of 94, and it said yield, and I yielded. I looked both ways twice. And all of a sudden, as I was turning, this man who was in a wheelchair was right there. And I just about freaked out. I had to pull over. I was so terrified and so grateful that I didn't hit him, touch him in any way. I was so grateful, you know, had tears in my eyes because what if, right? What if? And so a lot of people are driving on the weekends, especially that are under the, you know, the ruling of alcohol and so much more. And you don't know how to react sometimes. You really don't. But I feel so blessed that what could have been a terrible thing did not happen last night. Thank God. And there was no alcohol involved or anything like that. But it really terrified me because it was so pitch black. There was no light there. And I'm just grateful I didn't hit him. So grateful. And I just kept saying to him, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So I don't know. It was really scary. Also, when it comes to weed, and you know, that's what we usually call it, right? Weed. There's so much more to it. And people are drinking weed now. And the it looks like a martini glass with the weed sitting in it and how they infuse it and make it where it doesn't hurt you as much. But I would really have to ask an expert if it hurts you at all. Because the weed of today is not like the weed of yesterday.
Yeah.
And you see that changing, right? I mean, the smell of it even is so different. You smell it everywhere.
Well, the thing with... I don't know how much of a thing this was when the hippie culture was around in the mid to late 60s and into the 70s and how that's changed over time. But now you hear from people, like you said, there are times when you don't know what's going into that drug that you're taking.
Right.
And I know that a lot of emphasis right now is on fentanyl and
oh, wow.
Types
of
fentanyl
business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, you just say the word Prince and that's
how he died.
Yes. And so the fact that some of these drugs are being, and especially designer drugs are being mixed with other things that could make it more lethal, could give you a bigger high, I guess, but could make this more lethal. It's something that you now have to watch out for more readily and more carefully because it's like someone, and this is going to be a silly comparison. I'm going to make it, but it's a silly comparison, but it's like someone with a food allergy reading the ingredient label to make sure that there is nothing in there that will make them react to their allergy. And so maybe there needs to be some kind of labeling. And I know that if you go maybe to a dispensary, I wonder if dispensaries have that capability of putting labels on and showing you ingredients and how it's made. Buying it off the street, you're not going to get that. But I wonder if you can see that if you go to some of these dispensaries that are licensed to sell.
Yeah, good question. You know, I look at even some of the vitamins that I take, you know, from vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin D, magnesium. And there's a bunch of vitamins that I take a day. And most of the bottles say that it is not approved by the FDA. And I keep sitting there going, well, why are we taking this stuff and it's not even approved? But we take it anyway. And I don't know if it's even doing any good. I don't have a way necessarily of understanding or finding out if it's really working. It's so frustrating, Jonathan, whether it's real drugs that cause people to, like marijuana, that cause people to falter from time to time, and then other people who it really blesses them, it keeps them alive, keeps them on this planet, living a life because they are on those drugs, like cannabis. So I don't know. I keep asking myself, why do I keep taking vitamins? Do you take vitamins?
I don't at this time. I probably will, you know, down the road, but I take a couple of things a day for allergies. And so it's probably the same for me. I've taken this stuff for so long, it's probably embedded in my brain by now. But stuff like that, you don't want to become addicted to it, and you want to make sure that everything is good for you that goes in. But sometimes it, I don't know. I'm not as careful as I probably should be on these more licensed drugs and pharmaceuticals, so to speak.
Pharmaceuticals, but, you know. It talks about in that article, too, that what are the risks of cannabis-infused drinks? And it said it's easy to accidentally consume too much THC.
Yeah.
It's a simple answer, right? Yeah. And so how do we stay on top of that? How do we know the drinks that are coming at us that the bartenders make that won't hurt us? Because every one of us is different, right? Some people can really have a high level of alcohol that they can do and others can't. So it's math.
Yeah.
You know? It's the math of math of it all. So
we got
to appreciate
break.
You telling your truth. I know we do. All right, we're going to take a break and then finally wrap this up. We'll be back. It is now 10:56 here at WCCO. My goodness, Jonathan, I have had a good time talking with you tonight. And I thank you so much for sticking and staying with us here at WCCO. I think you are a really good producer as well. Hey, do you know what pickleball is?
That's become extremely popular.
Oh, my gosh. What is the deal? I mean, they're saying that this could be the sport of the future injury, that it's that dangerous at times. It's all fun and games until you strain your Achilles tendon and herniate a disc or do a face plant in the kitchen. So people are really talking about it, and it has spread even here in the great state of Minnesota.
Real quick, there's a tennis court on the block right behind my complex that I live at.
Yeah.
It's a couple tennis courts. You would barely see people playing tennis. I went by there a week or two ago. Packed. Everybody's playing pickleball. Packed.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there you go. I got to check it out. Thanks for everything, Jonathan. And thank you all for sticking and staying with us tonight. I hope to hear from you on Sunday. Take care. It is now 10:56 here at WCCO. My goodness, Jonathan, I have had a good time talking with you tonight. And I thank you so much for sticking and staying with us here at WCCO. I think you are a really good producer as well. Hey, do you know what pickleball is?
That's become extremely popular.
Oh, my gosh. What is the deal? I mean, they're saying that this could be the sport of the future injury, that it's that dangerous at times. It's all fun and games until you strain your Achilles tendon and herniate a disc or do a face plant in the kitchen. So people are really talking about it, and it has spread even here in the great state of Minnesota.
Real quick, there's a tennis court on the block right behind my complex that I live at.
Yeah.
It's a couple tennis courts. You would barely see people playing tennis. I went by there a week or two ago. Packed. Everybody's playing pickleball. Packed.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there you go. I got to check it out. Thanks for everything, Jonathan. And thank you all for sticking and staying with us tonight. I hope to hear from you on Sunday. Take care.